Welcome back to Roaming with Restless Women. Today I'm honored to have with us Tina Baxter. Tina is a advanced practice registered nurse. She's also a board certified gerontological nurse practitioner. She's the she's been a registered nurse for 20 years and a nurse practitioner for 17 of those. She's the owner of Baxter Professional Services and a consulting firm which provides legal nurse consulting services for attorneys and insurance professionals, wellness and chronic disease management coaching, and customized educational and operational resources to healthcare organizations. She's the founder of the Nurse Shark Academy, which you can see behind her, which is so cool. I love that logo. Where she coaches nurses to launch and scale their businesses. And she's also a podcast host of the Nurse Shark Academy show. She's a public speaker and she's spoken on numerous topics on a national level. She's a contributor to many articles on electronic and print media such as Entrepreneur.com, The Minority Nurse, Authority Magazine, Medium, LinkedIn, as well as a guest on numerous podcasts. So welcome. So happy to have you, Tina.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, I just am very thrilled to have you because, as I mentioned to you before, I have a particular place in my heart for nurses. Since I worked with a bunch of them when I was doing a program up at Kent State. So I appreciate your being here. I know how much your time is money these days. So tell me a little bit about your journey. Why did you decide to become a nurse to begin with?
Well, I originally never set out to be a nurse. I set out to be a physician. I was going to be a doctor. That was my whole plan. And then I got into undergrad and, typical biology major. Love the biology, but it seemed like they just sucked the life out of you. As far as it just didn't seem fun anymore. You know what I'm saying? And so I happened to do a couple of internships with my family members who happened to be doctors and saw what they did and realized I didn't want that life. I wanted to have a life. So after sitting for the MCAT twice, I could never pull the trigger and actually apply to medical school. I actually had nightmares about it.
Oh my goodness.
So, I just decided to get a job as a CNA to figure out what I wanted to do. And that's when I saw what the nurses were doing. And I thought, I could do that. And if I want to go back to medical school later, I will. Well, I get to my very first nursing class and I'm sitting in there. And I remember because the dean was teaching, her name was Pat Bennett. And I just knew I was where I was supposed to be. I was like, I found my tribe. And I went
Oh.
to nursing and never looked back. I applaud my physician colleagues. They're wonderful and great and whatever and what have you. But I felt like it was pigeonholing. You just kind of, you had to stay in this one particular lane. You choose a specialty and pretty much you stay there forever because who wants to do another residency, right? But nursing
Exactly.
is so broad and you
Yeah.
can do so many different things with nursing. So I felt like I could really grow in this profession and root for the underdog. And so I really enjoyed it because my question has always been not just what's going on in front of me, like, fixing a broken leg or whatever, but how did you break your leg? Why did you break your leg? Was there something that we could have done to prevent you breaking your leg? And can we prevent it in the future? And that's how my mind works. And so nursing really aligned with that.
Oh, that's beautiful. And I'm getting also the feeling that you liked more of the bedside aspect or getting to know the person aspect. Is that right?
Yes. I wanted to know about my patients and why they were in the state that they were in. How did they get here and how can we help them navigate the healthcare system? It's not just fixing the broken leg or taking out the appendix. It's what can we do to help you to be the healthiest you can be? And nursing really aligns with that calling.
Well, and you do a lot of work, according to your bio, you do a lot of work with gerontology.
Yes.
And that's the older folks, right? Am I getting
Yes,
that
yes,
right?
yes.
I don't know
Yes, but
anything about oh.
that's my love, older adults.
Now, they're difficult. I have a mother in an
Complex.
Alzheimer's unit right now. And, unfortunately, it just got to the point where we couldn't keep her safe at home. And so when she went into the unit, I thought to myself, this would be really, really, really hard to do every day. The behavior is unpredictable. There's so many different levels of care that are needed. So tell me a little bit about how a nurse decides to become, a caretaker in a long-term facility.
Well, when I came out of nursing school, everybody was told you needed to go to med-surg, right? I had worked as a CNA in the nursing home. That's how I got my first training. Actually, let me
Okay.
put that back. I started out as a volunteer in the nursing home in junior high and high school because my mom was a volunteer in a nursing home. And then I got a job working in the lab in high school. So I had been in the medical field for quite a while.
Wow.
And so I had been a nursing assistant, worked with older adults on the Alzheimer's unit, was like my favorite unit to work on because every
Oh.
day is different.
Yeah.
And when I became a nurse, everybody was like, oh, you must do med surg. Well, I worked as a nurse tech on med surg, and I really didn't want to do that. So I had a choice between med surg at one hospital, which I kind of didn't want, and psychiatry at another hospital, which I really did want. And I
Yes.
ended up working in psychiatry because I'd work with people with dementia. I'd work with people, I volunteered at a children's home because, again, my mom worked there. So you were automatically a volunteer. And these were children that had developmental problems, so severely developmentally delayed. So I'd worked with those types of populations before. And that got me interested in the mind and how the mind works and, how people express, dementia, now depression, and other chronic mental illnesses like schizophrenia. So that was fascinating to me. So I started out as a psychiatric nurse and I loved psychiatry and mental health. I did a lot of work there, worked up to supervisor into a manager, just thought I was going to be the president of the hospital one day and realized management wasn't for me. And then I'm in the hospital. And I got a chance to go back to school to get my master's. And so I double majored in education because that's always been another passion of mine was education. And I was in the family nurse practitioner program. And I found out that after I finished my gerontology rotation and I was in my peds rotation, although I did enjoy the peds because I'd never done peds, so I thought, let me give it a go, right? Always open for a challenge. Loved it, but I knew I would never really want to take care of kids. I love kids. I don't want to take care of them. They terrify me. But what I also found was that I missed the older adults. I was thinking, well, maybe I could just go visit. I don't have, I'm not there anymore to see them as a, as a student, but maybe I could just go volunteer. And that's when the light bulb went off. I was like, oh, I'm in the wrong major. I need to go back to gerontology where I love it because they have such rich stories to tell.
Oh, they
And
do.
they are medically complex. And so there's that challenge there that I love. And then I have the greatest job now where I get to marry both the geriatric and the psychiatry together. And I subspecialize in general psychiatry. So it's come full circle for me. I love taking care of older adults. On the primary care side and the mental health side. And I think it's so important that we look at the individuals holistically.
Yes, absolutely. I know that a lot of people who are in my audience are, women who essentially have kids maybe in college or a little bit older and are also taking care of elderly parents. Can you give one tip on how to assess when it's time for you to look for alternatives for care, should the parent be either living on their own or living with you?
Well, sometimes it happens so subtly because we fail to recognize some of those signs. I remember with my dad, it was him driving and almost ended up in Michigan and got lost, and he finally gave up his keys. And he wasn't going very far, but somehow he ended up on the interstate, forgot where he was going. My mom would have to program into his phone the GPS so he could find his way back home should he get lost. And so it was those signs that we saw. And then because of what I do, I watched the decline and I knew what was happening. But it was interesting to see how the rest of my family processed it. And it took them a while to figure out what was happening. You know, my mom would get frustrated with him because, you know, he wasn't doing things like he used to. He wouldn't get out of bed as much. He wouldn't, you know, do things on his own. And she had to do more. And it became very frustrating for her. And I recognized some of those things because I saw the decline that was happening. And I knew what the next steps were going to be. But I, and in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, now, how do I tell this to my family without them thinking I'm just giving up? Because I'm not. But I can see the next steps. And my dad had dementia. And heart problems and some things. He just, you know, he lived to be in his late 70s and he did very well up until, you know, he's just started really to decline. I remember my 3-year-old, he was 3 at this time, great nephew, would go on walks with Pawpaw, but basically he was to make sure Pawpaw could find his way back home. So they would go down to the end of the block and turn around and come back. And he would say, "Pawpaw, no, it's this way. Come this way. This is where we live." And my dad would follow him. They were the best of friends, the best of friends. And so watching some of those changes when he really was declining and he had to be in hospice care, my mom physically couldn't take care of him. I mean, she's older too. And it became a decision. I said, well, you know, we'll put them inpatient hospice at the facility, and just kind of let him be. You know, we won't force things on him. He's been through a lot. He had heart surgeries and all this stuff. I said, let's stop that, and we'll just let nature take its course and just make him comfortable. And that's what we did. And it was a hard decision because I have younger nieces and nephews. This is their first grandparent to pass. And so they didn't know how to handle it. They're like, "Well, why aren't they doing more? Why can't they make him better?" And I'm like, "Sometimes you just get older and there is no better, you know, time." And it's hard for them to have it. And having had the background that I have working in hospice care, I worked in hospice care for several years. I could see what was happening. Of course, I had to fix myself, right? It's my dad. I had to deal with my own
Of
emotions, but
course,
I had to stay centered and grounded for them because I know that they didn't know how to do this. And even when it came time for after he passed and we were having the funeral, they still were like trying to figure out how to navigate these emotions, even in sitting in the service with me, like, what happens next? Well, why are they doing this and explaining that? So for me, that was a rewarding experience to be there for the younger ones because I had been through this before. I had grandparents pass, right? So all my grandparents are gone, and so I'd been through this before. I've had friends and you know things like that. I've attended funerals, but this for some of them was their very first funeral, and they had no idea what happened at a funeral. And so preparing that. So getting back to your question, because I know I veered off there,
Oh,
but
you're
getting
fine.
back to your question about how to know that change is, are you okay yourself? Are you so
As the
worried
caregiver.
you're not taking care of yourself and it becomes detrimental to your either mental or physical health? That's one. The other thing is that person safe at home? So I had a resident that came to our building. She was in our assisted living, and they had kept her at home. They had home care services. They would come in. The family set up video cameras to watch her to make sure she didn't leave the stove on. You know, she fell, but she just fell too many times at home, and it really became unsafe for her to be at home. So if they're having a lot of falls, that's a big clue that, you know, something bad could really happen. Or if they're leaving the stove on and forgetting stuff's cooking and they could potentially burn down the house.
Yeah.
Big red flag there. They're driving, they can't find their way back. It's time to take the keys. They get into a lot of accidents or near accidents all of a sudden when they're driving. You start noticing self-neglect. They've forgotten when they've eaten or if they've eaten or
Yeah.
taken their medication. So it's those types of things that would say, we need more help. And whether it's bringing in home care, it temporarily, maybe that could be of assistance because sometimes they have an illness like a urinary tract infection or something like that that could be causing some confusion. Or if it's dementia that's setting in, and then that becomes a bigger question, a bigger challenge because, if they have an infection, we can treat the infection. They have
Yeah.
dementia, that's a progressive disease. We can hold
Yeah.
it, hold them where they are as long as we can, but it's something we can't stop. We don't have anything to reverse dementia as of yet. So it's making sure that you know who is their caretaker, who's taking care of them, who their physicians are, who their doctors are, who's treating them, so that maybe they can, you can go to appointments with them. It would be a great time for you to also get a patient advocate if you like to get one. There are nurses out there that do that. There are patient advocates and they help you navigate the healthcare system. And there's a lot of different ways to engage their services. I have a great friend and she's a patient advocate and she does wonderful work out of Ohio. So she's awesome. Yeah.
That
So
sounds
if you're out there.
great. So, when you're looking at a facility, I know that my sister and I looked at a lot of different facilities, and we were not eligible. My mother was not eligible for Medicaid, so it was quite expensive. It still is. So what are three things that you would look for in a facility that would indicate that they're getting the appropriate amount of care?
One of the things is that take a tour, and if they invite you to spend some time in their lunchroom during mealtime, do that. Look at what the staff seems like. Do they feel like they're actually attentive? Are they looking like they're hurried, short staffed? Those types of things. Change your expectations because a lot of people come from the hospital to the nursing home. And they think it's going to be like the hospital where they're like Johnny on the spot, always in the room.
Oh,
It
yeah.
is no. Long-term care, you have to remember that's their home. So we treat it like it's their home. So they're not going to be in there all the time in their room. And they're going to give them some autonomy. And that's important. That's what we want them to have. So their nurses are there, but don't expect to see things that happen because stat in a nursing home is so much different than stat in the hospital, right?
Yeah.
Stat in the nursing home can be 4 to 8 hours, depending on what it is that you're wanting. Okay.
Right.
So, but just think of it, remember, it's supposed to be a home-like environment. So keep that in mind. Do the residents look like they're well cared for? Are they sitting around with food on their clothing? Right? They do soil. Is there a smell? Now, occasionally there's a smell, but does it seem like the smell is like permeate everywhere? That sounds like they're not as clean as they should be, right?
Okay.
Ask questions about activities. Do they have an activity director? Do they actively engage the residents in that activity? My grandmother moved in. She was like 101. She moved into an assisted living at 101
Oh,
because my
wow.
uncle had cancer and was no longer able to care for her. And she actually perked up. She became a lot better
She had
because she had
people.
people to talk to. Yeah. She had
Yeah.
people to talk to. So encourage them to socialize. I always encourage the residents, hey, get out and meet a friend. I said, I don't care if you don't like a lot of activities. I said, choose one that you like. If bingo's your jam, go to bingo, right?
Yeah.
If you like to play euchre, go play euchre, okay? If you want to go on the whitewater rafting, yes, I had one building that took their residents on a whitewater
Oh my
rafting trip.
goodness.
Wheelchairs at all, you're getting in that raft, baby. And they had a blast. So
Oh.
look at those nursing homes that and extended care facilities that are doing things. You know, are they actively doing things? And then you can also look at their CMS star rating to see what their
Okay.
ratings are. And then it's public record, so you can actually go back and look at some of their surveys if you want to see their state survey. And they have to post their state survey and have it available for you, where you can look at it. So I would say, hey, let me see your surveys because I want to know what some of the issues you had and what are your responses were, right? Now, this is a nursing home. Now,
Right.
you may not understand all that's in there, but you can pick out things like there's a lot of open wounds, you know, that don't seem to be getting healed here. You can see that, right? And then ask about the physical therapy department and you know that type of thing. Meet some of the physical therapists, meet the staff that's going to be there and really engage and then become a part of the community yourself. Visit and
Oh,
visit often.
yes. My sister lives closer. Well, we're states away. I'm states away from my mom, but my sister does go at least twice a week at different times, so that she can experience, what's early morning like, what's the lunchtime routine like, and all of that stuff. And so she does a good job of that. And my mom doesn't recognize either of us anymore, but I know that she knows there's familiarity there. There's something there, and I know that that helps. So let's switch over to your Nurse Shark school, your academy. Tell me about that, and how did you come about creating that for nurses?
Well, I started to, and when I started our first business with my partners, we started a business training CNAs back in 2008, 2009, when the recession was happening because we recognized two problems. People were out of work and needed jobs, and facilities needed CNAs. So we're like, why not start a community CNA program so that you get the training and get you working and, you know, and help the buildings out at the same time. So I
Okay, when you
started that.
say, I'm just going to stop you right there for just one second. So some of my people might not know what a CNA is, 'cause so can you
Oh,
say what that is?
certified nursing assistant.
Thank you.
So
All right.
they're the ones that work with the nurses that do the day-to-day caregiving. Yeah. And so we started that program, but in the midst of doing that and becoming an entrepreneur, I started having other nurses ask me, well, how do I do this and how do I do that? And I want a home care agency and how do I start? So I was doing a lot of, you know, consulting, advising, and that type of thing for free, I might add, for a while. And it became a lot, and you know, a lot of questions I was fielding. And suddenly I said, well, maybe I should just, you know, make a course or something for people. And it grew from there. And I thought about what I could call it. This is, you know, fast forward several years. I said, well, what can I call it? And at that time, I was watching a lot of Shark Tank. And, okay. And I was looking for
So you
names
were
that, you know,
inspired.
yes, that didn't, you know, that weren't taken, like Nurse Boss's trademark. Nursepreneur trademark. Okay. So I needed something that I know I could trademark. And so I thought about, well, what is a shark? And I looked it up. A shark is an expert in their field. Okay. And then I also looked up nurse shark to make sure no one had it, but then discovered that there actually is an animal, the nurse shark. It's an actual
Right.
shark. And what interests me about the nurse shark was that it's a really a non-aggressive shark. If you don't bother it, it won't bother you, but it has a lot of teeth. And I thought that is a perfect description of nurses.
Let
The
them do
perfect
what they
description of nurses.
do.
So we're the Nurse Shark Academy because we're experts in nursing and experts in business. And that brings it to what I discovered working and starting my business is we worked with a lot of great advisors and people that helped us at SCORE and you know places like that. And I still attend some of those, right? But most of them were in business, finance, you know, architecture, you know, that type of stuff. Very few had any expertise in healthcare.
Right.
And so, and I worked with some great people on branding and marketing, but again, that niche for understanding healthcare and how nurses think and the regulatory hurdles that we have and starting our businesses, they did not have that expertise. And I'm like, that's what I bring to the table.
There you
So I
go.
help nurses start out with their startup and launching so that they don't get into trouble. And I get these 911 calls of stay to my building and they want this. What do I do? I said, we can handle all that in the room, right?
That's perfect.
And so we build you a good foundation. One of my students, former clients, she's awesome. And she started her CPR training school and she got her CNA instructor and she was building her business out. And I remember we had finished working on her business plan and she's like, ugh, I hate doing this. It's tedious and da, 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 you know, this, you know, all that. And I was like, I know, but it's important. If you can write a care plan, you can write a business plan. And your business plan is your roadmap for your business. It's not just something you just write out. So when she went into the bank and she was opening up her business account and they were asking for her business plan and her financial, whatever, she was able to just hand it to them. And she said, I felt like such an adult and such, I was like, it was already done. I can just like, bam, here it is. And I said, there's a reason why we go through that process. It may seem painful at the time, but you want to lay that firm, good foundation. And so we talk about do you have your policies and procedures in place? I'm not talking about cutting and pasting from some website that you saw and you're putting your name on it, maybe. Or in one case, I saw a home care agency and it was the samples from they bought from someone and it just simply said, draft on it. No customization for their organization.
Oh no.
If they audit you, you're probably going to get nailed on this.
Yeah.
And so I talk about those things and having the people that I call it your tribe, right? To help your business be successful, people around you, like your accountant, like your attorney, like, all these people that can help your business to grow and get in the right direction. Let's put a plan in place to get to those next steps. So that when you're ready to scale, you have everything you need and you're not having to tear things down and start all over because you didn't build it in the right way the first time.
That's beautiful.
Full disclosure, I am not an attorney, but I know enough of them.
That's perfect. So how can people join the Shark Academy, the Nurse Shark Academy?
Could you repeat that? I'm sorry. For some
Oh,
reason,
sure. No, that's okay. How can people join the Sh Nurse Shark Academy?
oh,
Uh-oh.
there we go. All right,
Okay.
I lost audio for a second. I
No
apologize.
problem. I'll edit all
How
that
can
out.
people join the Nurse Shark Academy?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm getting good at lip reading. you can go to the nurseshark.biz. And we have a variety of different things. You could watch one of our videos that are on there. We have free videos available. We also have videos that are paid videos. You can download us some training. We have our micro mastermind that's coming up. And so this is a fun because it's like 60 days. You get together and really work on your business for 60 days. So we have a micro mastermind coming up,
Nice.
as well as a variety of different things. And I'm getting ready to host another event. So I always have events going on, classes going on. If you want to learn about being podcast guests, we have trainings on that things too. So you can put
Cool.
people on your show. So it's a win-win for everybody. So there's a lot of different things in there. So go to the nurseshark.biz and you can get information about it there.
Oh, that sounds great. All right. So I have three questions that I ask at the end of every interview. And the first one is if you could close your eyes,
Oh, really close by. Okay.
really close your eyes. Yes. In your mind's eye, what do you see when I say the words wise woman?
I see a woman walking in the sunshine, very like a long caftan dress on, sandals, hair just looking gorgeous. And just enjoying the feeling of being in the sun, just Everything is great. Birds are singing. Life is good.
There we go. Wise women love life. I love that. That's perfect. Okay, so the next question is, where do you like to roam?
As far as travel,
Just where do you like to roam?
well, honestly, where if you're going to ask where I like to roam, then I'm going to say I like to roam in books. I am an avid reader, and they take me to so many different places. And I've recently got into audio type books, and listening to stories. So I'm all about this Duke and his masked bride right now. And I call my whole story.
Oh,
I like so every episode I listen to, I'm like, okay, let me tell you what happened with the Duke. You know, so I get excited. But I love nerdy things. I read a lot of science
I
fiction
do
and
too.
some romances. Mystery books are my jam. I also read a lot of self-help books and business books and things like that because for some reason I just find that interesting and fascinating as well. But yeah, that's a, sort of yeah, anything that I can read. I was the kid that sat at the breakfast table and read the cereal box. Okay. So reading has always been what I've done. And you know, I need
We
the
are
back of the
right.
toilet paper. Yeah.
This is us. We're right.
Yep.
We're together on that. That's for sure. So
It transports me to different worlds.
it does. It does. I love using my imagination to roam. I love it.
Yes.
So, final question. What makes you restless, but in a good way?
The idea that there's something out there to explore. There's something new on the horizon. I always look at the day and say, what adventure are we going to have today? And it could be something like I get a new patient that comes in and they're all over the place, right? And I got to help navigate what's actually going on and figure out what's happening with them. Or it could be that I have a new coaching client and they've got all these ideas. You know, I work with not just nurses, but others in the healthcare field. So I had one that was wanted to start a massage therapy school. So they got all these ideas. And I love to see that, you know, flow and what they come up with and how I can support. And, you know, it could be something as simple as the other day, I was outside and I saw this flower and I thought, I wonder what kind of flower that is. Maybe I should look that up. Let's Google it. And then I go down the rabbit hole of learning about all the flower and what it does. Not that I'm ever going to grow the flower, don't get me wrong, but I want to know about it because it's beautiful and I want to think about it. And so it's those little discoveries that get me excited. It's just little things that pop up that, you know, a new recipe. I saw somebody making something new off of TikTok and I thought, ooh, that sounds good. I might have to make that one day. And I bet I said, ooh, and maybe I could tweak it, make it better. You know, so I'm always thinking about new things and new innovation.
I love that. I love it. And Tina, you've just been such a great podcast guest. I'm so appreciative of your sharing your knowledge with us, especially the knowledge that you have about the elderly population. And it is such a difficult situation that, a lot of families have to go through. Thank you for sharing what your experience has been and also all the tips and tricks that you've shared with us. I really appreciate that. And good luck with the shark school, the nurse shark school, I should say.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Guys, take a look at the show notes because in the show notes, I have Tina's website where you can go and check out her training and all of the free resources she has available for you. See you next time.